Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Lamed Tet. Today's daf is being sponsored by Mr. Joe Habert in honor of the birth of a baby boy that is being circumcised in about 1 hour from now after our shi'ur shi'yeh b'sha'a tova u'mutzlachat. May the young child be zocheh l'hachniso b'bito shel Avraham Avinu u'kshem shi'yekanes l'berit kach yekanes l'torah u'mitzvot u'l'chulpa u'l'mahasim tovim. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat Chacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Lamed Tet Amud Rishon, and we are going to start at the Gufa, that is 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top. And the Gemara begins Gufa. We learned above Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda taught Eirev Beraglav Biyom Rishon. If a person made his Eiruv by foot on the first day, let's say on Friday, which was Yom Tov, Me'arev Beraglav Bashini, so he has to go back and make the Eruv again on the second day. He goes and stands in the same spot, which means the issue over here is he has to go to the same spot, because if he goes to a different spot, it's considered Mechin from Yom Tov to Shabbat. However, if he goes to the same spot and he stands there, to Ben Hashem Ashur, it is not considered a problem. Furthermore, Erev Bepat Biyom Rishon, if a person made the Eruv with bread on the first day, meaning Friday, Me'arev Bepat Biyom Sheni, then he can go back with the bread and he makes the Eruv again on the second day. And the statement continues, Erev Bepat Birishon, let's say he used bread for his Eruv, for Friday's Eruv, meaning Thursday night he went and put the bread there. And as she tells us, the bread got eaten. So now you have no bread there for Shabbat's Eruv. Me'arev beraglav b'sheni. So the only way he can make the Eruv according to the Yehuda is by foot. Meaning he cannot take a new loaf of bread, because that would be considered hachana. That would be considered you're making a new Eruv, meaning you're preparing from Friday to Shabbat. Because then you're going to have to designate the new bread as an Eruv. You're going to have to say, for example, Hare ze shvitati in the new Eruv. And that's considered Hachana. However, it would be permissible to walk, to make an Eruv by foot, meaning you walk to the spot and you just stand there, ben Hashem Ashot, and that would be considered an Eruv. Now, Erev Beraglav Barishon, let's say you made the Eruv by foot on the first day, and Me'arev Bepat Basheni. So you would not be allowed to make your second Eruv on Shabbat with Pat, She'en Me'arbin B'Techila Bepat. Because the Ketechila, you're not allowed to make a new Eruv on Friday for Shabbat, which is Friday's Yom Tov, because using a new Eruv, as she says, Mi Yom Tov the Shabbat Meshum Hakana. Because when you're using a new loaf of bread, you have to call the Shem Eruv on that day. And therefore, there's a difference between making an Eruv by just standing there, where we learned earlier you don't have to verbalize anything, as opposed to using bread, new bread, where now you have to make a Shem Eruv. That's considered you're preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So now the Gemara explains, Erev Bepat Biyom Rishon, Me'arev Bepat Biyom Sheni, that which we said, that if you use bread on the first day, meaning for Friday's Eruv, you could use bread also for the second day, for Shabbat, Amar Shemuel Ubota Hapat. It's only Toma where you're using the same loaf of bread. Then it's considered just an extension. It's not considered you're making a hakana. You don't have to make a new, you don't have to verbalize again, Harezu Bishvil Shivitati, because already the Eruv was set there from before for a Shivita. And you just go back and stand there with the bread the second day. So it has to be the same bread. Amar Rav Asher, Daikaname Matnitin. Our Mishnah is also Meduyeket that when you're making an Eruv for 2 days, so you have to use the same loaf. How do we know? Diktani, because we said, Ket sadu ose, how do you make an eruv for 2 days of Friday, Yom Tov and Shabbat? Molicho barishon u'machshik alav. You bring the eruv there the first day, Thursday night, and you leave it there. Then otodan, you take that loaf of bread, ubalo, and you come home. Basheni machshik alav, you take the same loaf and you bring it back there on Friday afternoon, ve'ochlo, and then you eat it on that spot, ubalo. So therefore you see what? You see clearly that since the Mishnah gave a solution where you're using the same loaf of bread, where you put it there Thursday night, you go home, and you take it with you, and you go back with that same loaf. Why? Because if you take a new loaf of bread, it's considered already you are making a hakana. It's considered a new eruv, therefore you're mechin from Shabbat, Yom Tov to Shabbat, because you're using a new eruv. So comes the Gemara and says, let's read Rashi for a second, Daikaname. When we have a proof to this principle from our Mishnah, be'otah pat, that same bread, the kara alei Hashem me'etmol, that you called it the Shem of Eruv on Thursday, ve'az tekashatik. Now when you bring it on Friday, you don't have to say anything. Aval lo be'patahayrek, but you cannot use a new loaf of bread. Why? De'ba'el le'mikre Shem Eruv Hashta. Because now a new bread, you have to inaugurate it, so to speak, with a dibur, and the dibur is considered already a hakana. So the Gemara says, ve'rabbanan, which means yesterday, if you remember in yesterday's daf, we learned, for example, a statement of Rabba Bar Bar Hanan. He learned that even a dibur is not considered a hakana. He held that even by verbalizing, there is no hakana. If you remember, he brought the case of the fellow that wants to go to his field on Shabbat, he wants to stand there, and he wants to, you know, look at his field to see exactly what type of work is going to be necessary Motzei Shabbat. So the Braita we learned above that said, well, just like it's asur to walk by his field, it's also asur also to walk to the end of the city in order to prepare himself to get out of the city to go to the Minhat on Motzei Shabbat. So you see in that case, it's asur, and over there you're not even speaking. So you see, speaking and not speaking is the same deen. And therefore, if we're going to say that you can go stand by your eruv and not speaking and it's going to be good, then speaking also should be good. Which means, you see, the deen is equal, and therefore that shita held that even verbalizing hareze erubi or standing there and saying hareze shvitati is not be considered hakana. So if that's the case, according to those rabbis, not considered hakana, so then why did they necessitate the same loaf of bread in the Mishnah? According to them, if you want to bring a new loaf of bread also on Friday and go to the spot and say harezu shvitati, that's not considered a problem of hakana. I mean, the dibud itself, the fact that you have to verbalize, is not considered an issue. Again, since you could do it silently, so there should be no difference. If you do it silently, it should be permissible as well if you do it verbally. So how are they going to explain this? So the Gemara says, v'rabbanan, how do the rabbis explain the Mishnah? Dilma atam etza tova kamashma'lan. So, you know, all the Mishnah is giving you is a good idea. Which means, if you want to save the bread, and you want to, you know, use the same loaf, there's a way to do it. Certainly, if you want to use two loaves of bread, you could also do it. The Mishnah is giving you etza tova kamashma'lan. Meaning, you want good advice, we'll give you a way to conserve, that you'd be able to use one loaf of bread for two edubin. How? Put it there on Thursday night, go back on Friday, take it home Thursday night with you, and then go back. In a chenema, you want to use two loaves of bread? You can use two loaves of bread just as well. So that she comes along and says, that she, Amri lach, the rabbis will tell you right before the Mishnah, that she, Dilma matnitin etzat tova kamashma. Maybe the Mishnah is just giving us good advice. Now, ha diktarin notlo ubalo, that what it's telling you, take it home and bring it back. Shelo yovad v'yafsid pito. Just so he doesn't lose his bread, and v'yitrach be'acheret, then he's going to have to bring another one. Ulolam, iba'im me'arev be'acheret. If he wants, really, he can use a second loaf of bread as well, even though he's going to have to say, harezu erubi u'shvitati, doesn't matter. Verbalizing it is not considered a preparation. Now, ulolam, iba'im me'arev be'acheret, udiktani en eruv l'sheni, which is when the Mishnah said that if, let's say, the Eruv got eaten, so he says what? In Eruvo Eruv, right? Then we say the Eruv that he set up is not considered in Eruv. If it got eaten, let's say, on Friday, it's not going to be considered in Eruv for Shabbat. So that she says, Udiktani in Eruv Lasheni, Bikniya Kamaita Ka'amar. That means, in the first eruv that you placed down, if it gotten eaten, if you're not going to put another eruv for the second day, it will not be considered an eruv, which means not that you need the same loaf. The pshat is, if you don't put a second loaf there, you cannot rely on the first bread that you put on Thursday. Because since they hold it's considered, let's say, you need the two separate kiryot, or the eruv has to be there, let's say, from the beginning to the from the beginning of Yom Tov, and it's not there anymore. So it's not saying that the eruv doesn't work because it got eaten, and therefore you don't have that loaf there. No, in erubo, meaning if you don't go put another bread there, but in the Kanaim you can actually go put another bread there. So you might have interpreted the Mishnah when it says if it got eaten up in Enubo, because that loaf is gone. And therefore, that's it. You have no options. No. If that loaf is gone, it means you need to put another loaf. You cannot rely on the fact that it was there on Thursday night for being there on Friday. So that's the Shita of the Rabbanan, that they'll hold that you can indeed bring a new loaf of bread there, and there is no problem. Now we start the new Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rosh Hashanah, regarding the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Now let's just review how Rosh Hashanah was established in the olden days. Obviously Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishri. That being said, in the olden days they used to make the Rosh Chodesh by the testimony of witnesses that would come to Yerushalayim to the Beit Din and testify that they saw the first sighting of the moon. Now, sometimes the Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Chodesh would be on the 30th day of the previous month, right? That would be called, which means that would be the last day of the last month. Or let's say it would be the following day, which would be the first of the next month, technically. So now there's a whole dilemma in how people are going to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. You see, regarding all the other holidays, the people, let's say, in the exile, they would know by the time the holiday, for example, Pesach comes on the 15th, basically they would know by that time when the Rosh Chodesh was Mikudash in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore they can adjust exactly to know when to start. Now they have 2 weeks to get the news that they make the Rosh Chodesh on the day before, being the 30th of the last month or the first of the next month. So therefore they'll know exactly when to adjust the holidays. Rosh Hashanah is a little trickier because it happens at the beginning of the month. So even the people in Jerusalem are not really certain to know which day did they sanctify Rosh Hashanah. I mean, Rosh Hashanah really from the Torah is only one day. But the problem is we don't know which day did Beit Din sanctify as Rosh Hashanah. If they sanctified the 30th day of Elul, that means the following day is Chol. Yeah, if they didn't sanctify the 30th day of Elul, that means the next day is Yom Tov and the first day is Chol. So now we have to discuss Le'inyan the Halakha, how do we deal with the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah that the rabbis told us you have to celebrate 2 days Misafik, because since we know, even in Israel, because they're not going to know exactly when the day was sanctified. It's too close for them even to get the reports. It's the holiday that happens at the beginning of the month, so therefore they have to celebrate 2 days. So now we have to discuss, how do you look at those 2 days? Is it considered one long day of Kiddushah, and that'll affect the halakha, or do you consider it, no, it's really a sefek, one day is Kodesh and one day is Chol, and the halakha is going to be impacted by that, depending how you learn the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah says, Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah Sheya Yareh, Shemet Tetaber, right? You're worried that maybe it's going to be in the Ibur, meaning maybe in the extra day of the month, which means maybe Rosh Hashanah is going to be on the 30th of Elul, and therefore that day is Kodesh, and the following day is Chol. So it says, before the 30th of Elul, Me'arev Adam Shnei Erubin. He's able to make two Erubin, meaning he needs to go on those subsequent 2 days to different directions. He needs to go one day to the east, and he needs to go one day to the west. So before the 30th of Elul, what does he do? He can establish two Erubin on both sides. Ve'omer, Erubi Barishon Mizrach, Ubasheni Le'Ma'arav. My first day I want to be in the east, and the second in the west. Barishon the ma'arav, bashin the mizrach. Or the opposite, I want the first day to be in the west, and the second day in the east. Or, erubi barishon, I want my eruv to kick in on whatever side on the first day. Ubasheni kibni iri. And on the second day, I don't want any eruv to work. I just want to be like the members of the city that have 2,000 amot in each direction. Or, erubi basheni, I want my eruv to kick in on whatever direction on the second day, ubarishon kibne iri. And on the first day, I don't want any eruv, and therefore I'll be considered like bene iri. Velo du lo hakamim. But the rabbis did not agree to this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now let's understand the machloket exactly what each ita. Let's read Rashi together. Sheme titaber bagola kamayri. First of all, that she tells us we're talking about over here in Galut. Sheme yasu betin agadol elul me'ubar, which means maybe betin is going to add an extra day. Meaning they're going to make the 30th day of Elul, the yushnei yamim tovim, which means they're going to celebrate the 30th of Elul as the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The Ud Sarik Lelech Barishon Nitzadehad Bashin Nitzadehad, which is he has a sefek. He doesn't know if the 30th day is going to be sanctified or not. So therefore, that she says, Me'arev Shnei Erubin Umanihan Be'arev Yom Tov. So he comes before the 30th day, and what does he do? Zelekan Vezelekan. Now, and therefore, obviously, he holds that they're considered two separate kiddushot. They're considered two separate days, and therefore, the eruv that you set up on Erev Yom Tov for day one is not take you all the way through the whole holiday, the 2 days. And therefore, I could set eruv for day one, and it ends after the day's over. Now, the second day is considered kiddushah. Shiniyat is considered a second kiddushah, and therefore, another eruv is able to take hold. And the other direction, Hakamim will argue, hold the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered Kiddushah Ahat. And therefore, once you set your Eruv on Erev Rosh Hashanah, you're committed to that side for the entire 2 days. So the Mahloket, the Gabbai Rosh Hashanah, do you consider it Shtei Kiddushot, or do you consider it Kiddushah Ahat? So comes the Mishnah and continues and says, Ve'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was consistent in his shita, and since he held that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are considered two separate kiddushot, he says the following: Matneh Adam ala kalkala biyom tov rishon veochla basheni. A person, let's say, has a kalkala, a basket of tevil. Tevil is fruits that were not given yet to Ruma and Maaser. The halacha says that until you give the terumot and ma'asura, obviously you cannot eat, it's tevil. And the halacha says you're not allowed to take terumot and ma'asurot on Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yehuda is going to say over here that there is a way to take terumot and ma'asurot on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Being that one day is Yom Tov and one day is Chol, you'd be able to take your terumot and ma'asurot on condition. Meaning, you'd be able to say on the first day, if today's Yom Tov, then already what I'm doing now, taking the Terumot and Ma'asot, is nothing. But if it's Chol, let it be considered that I took Terumot Ma'asot. Then you come on the second day and do the same thing. If today is Yom Tov, then what I'm doing is nothing. And then what I did yesterday, but was valid. And if not, if today's Chol, then what I'm doing today. So technically, making that condition, you'd be able to eat the tevil on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, only because he considers it Shtei Kiddushot. If you consider the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah one long Yom Tov, one long Kiddushah, so it's not going to help you to make a condition. V'chein, another halakha, Rabbi Yehuda said consistently, Betzah Shenodah B'rishon Tochal B'sheni. Halakha says, as we learned yesterday, that a betzah, an egg that's born on Yom Tov, it's forbidden. However, it's permissible to eat it on Chol. So therefore, according to the Biyuda, we'll say the same thing. If it's the animal, the egg was hatched or born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so he'll allow you to eat it on the second day, because mimah nafshach, either the first day is Yom Tov, and the second day is Chol, so you can eat it on Chol. Or the first day is Chol, that means the Betzah was Nolda Behol, on a weekday. Therefore you're allowed to eat on Yom Tov a Betzah that was born on Chol. So mimah nafshach, Rabbi Yehuda will allow that as well. Velo hodunu hakamim. Again, hakamim argued in both these cases again, because if you hold kedusha achat, it's considered one long yom tov, and it's considered betzach todab yom tov. It's urab bezeh ubezeh. So basically, we have three cases where the Biyuda showed us the din of Rosh Hashanah is considered shtei kedushot. Number one was the case of the eruv, that you can establish two erubim in different directions. Number two, he gave you the case of the kalkala, that you're able to take conditional to the mot and ma'asrot. And number three, the gabe the betzah shenolda biyom tov, you'll actually eat it on the second day. The Gemara will ask, what do you need three cases to teach us the principle that Rosh Hashanah is the din of shtei kedushot? Comes the Gemara and continues. Mishnah continues. Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas Omer. Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinas taught, Ha'oved lefnei ha-teva biyom tov shel Rosh Hashanah, the Hazan that goes up to the Teva on Rosh Hashanah, Omer, he says, Ha'halitzenu Hashem Eloheinu et yom Rosh Chodesh hazeh im hayom im lemachar. Which means Rabbi Dosa taught two Hiddushim. Number one, he says that the Hazan has to say in the Amidah, Hachalitzenu, give us strength, God, on Rosh Chodesh, on this Rosh Chodesh. So first of all, you see that you do mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah, which means some would say, no, you don't mention Rosh Hashanah, you just mention Yom HaZikaron or the holiday. He says, no, you must make mention, since Rosh Hashanah is also Rosh Chodesh. So number one, he's teaching you have to make mention of the fact that it is Rosh Chodesh. Number two, you have to say it on condition. Meaning you have to say, please God give us strength. Ha-chalitzenu b'yom Rosh Chodesh im hayom im lemahar. If it's today or tomorrow, because again it is a sefek. Because could be the Beit Din didn't sanctify the 30th day, and therefore it is going to be chol. Now, ulmahar, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Omer, im hayom im emesh. Which means then they have to make the opposite. They have to say, if today was Rosh Chodesh or yesterday, which means they have to make a conditional tefillah regarding Rosh Chodesh. Velo du lo hakamim. The hakamim did not agree. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, ha-halitzenu, zarzenu v'ha-halitzenu, which means give us the strength and fortification to celebrate the holiday. Come on, ha-halitz choshim. Imayom imahar. Right, if it's today or tomorrow, imayom hu, if today's Rosh Chodesh, ha-halitzenu ayom. V'imachar, machar, if it's tomorrow, tomorrow. V'lo adudu hakamim, v'gemar mefaresh, I atena'aka'e, which is when it says the rabbis don't agree. On which point? Do they agree that you don't make this condition? V'kasavi lav safeku, ela yom rishon Rosh Chodesh, o azikaron ka'e, v'kasavi de'em mazkim she'el Rosh Chodesh b'Rosh Hashanah. Which means, do they hold that either that it's not considered a sefik, and therefore the first day is definitely the day, and therefore you don't make a condition, or the issue is, no, don't mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara will explain exactly what point were they arguing on. Now the Gemara begins. Man lo hodu lo. Right? Our Mishnah says that we have an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Biyuda obviously held that Rosh Hashanah is considered shtei kedushot. And the Mishnah said, ve'lo hodu lo hachamim. So the Gemara wants to know, who's this lo hodu lo? Whose opinion is that they did not agree, meaning that they hold that Rosh Hashanah is considered kedusha achat? Comes the Gemara and says, man lo hodu lo amar rav Rabbi Yosei. It is the opinion of Rabbi Yosei. How do we know? The Tanya, because we have a braita. Modim hachamim l'Rabbi Eliezer. Hakamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer. Remember we learned Rabbi Eliezer in yesterday's Mishnah that said that Shabbat and Yom Tov are considered shtei kedushot. And Hakamim of the Mishnah said, no, it's considered kedushah achat. So the rabbis that argued on Rabbi Eliezer, the Gabeh, Yom Tov and Shabbat, that they considered kedushah achat, they'll agree to Rabbi Eliezer b'Rosh Hashanah. They agree the Gabe Rosh Hashanah, Shaya Yare Shemit Taber. The guy's concerned that what? That maybe they're going to make Rosh Hashanah on the 30th day of Elul. So then what? Me'arev Adam Shnei Erubin. So Hakamim will tell you, before the 30th day, you could make two Erubin and say, Ve'omer, Erubi Barishon Lemizrach, Ubasheni Lemarav, Barishon Lemarav, Ubasheni Lemizrach. or it'll be barishon. I want my eruv only to be on the first day, or basheni kibne aidi. And on the second day, I just want to have no eruv, meaning I want to be like a person living in the city that has an eruv, has 2,000 amot on all sides. Or it'll be basheni, or I want my eruv to kick in on the second day, ubarishon kibne aidi. Which means hachamim agreed legaber Rosh Hashanah that we are going to consider it shteh kedushot, and therefore you can't make an eruv on both directions before the holiday with all the options we said, either starting east-west or west-east, or eruv on the first day and not on the second, or eruv on the second day and not on the first. Let's read Rashi. Umudim hachamim is the first Rashi in the Gemara. Afalgav de pedigi aled rebidi aizu b'shabbat v'yom tov. Even though we learned that they argue in Gabesh Shabbat and Yom Tov, that what Hachamim are going to hold is considered one kedusha. Hachamodu by Rosh Hashanah they agree. The Bet Yamim Tamim Shorosh Hashanah Bet Kedushoten. Why? The Had Minayu Hol, which is goes bottom line for sure. One of them is Hol. Rosh Hashanah is really never 2 days. It's just we have a Safek which day is the Mikudash day, and what day is the whole day? Rashi says, "Mushum sefekad lo yadreinan emru bedin bekidshu yerha biyom lamir aleph," which means we don't know if maybe Betin added an extra day to the month and made the month of Elul 30 days, and therefore the 30th day is Hol. And when is Rosh Hashanah? On the 31st day, which technically would be the first day of the next one. That's the whole suspicion of it. When the Gemara says, Shema Ebruhu, they're concerned that maybe Betin made Elul Maleh. Meaning, instead of making it a 29-day month, they made it a 30. Then the 30th day is part of Elul, and therefore they made Rosh Hashanah on the 31st day. So it's Mesupak. Or maybe no. Maybe the 30th day was indeed Mikudas for Rosh Hashanah. That's what it means when the Gemara always says that Sheme Yit'aber. Maybe Elul will be literally pregnant. Meaning, they'll add an extra day to the Elul, and therefore Rosh Hashanah would be on the subsequent day. V'havile Rishon Chol, or B'yom Lamed Nikma, or maybe what? Rosh Hashanah was established on the 30th. V'havile Shini Chol, who that be? So therefore, in that case where one for sure is Chol, Hachamim will tell you it's two separate days. But therefore you can make Elubim before for both of the days, as opposed to Shabbat and Yom Tov, where clearly both of them are Kodesh. There the rabbis hold that what? It's Kedusha Achat. So comes the Gemara and says, that was the opinion of the Hachamim. Comes Rabbi Yoseh and says, that's 4 lines on the bottom, Rabbi Yoseh Osir. Rabbi Yoseh says, no, it is Asur. Meaning you can't make two Erubin, one to the east and one to the west, even before Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because must be old, it's considered one Kiddusha, and therefore once you put the Eruv on one side, you're committed to that side for the entire duration of the 2 days. So who's the opinion that says, in our Mishnah, V'chamim Osrim, that would be the Shita of the B Yosef. Let's read Rashi. Because really we have to ask a question. Doesn't the B.O.S.A. hold it is a Safek? I mean, one day is Yom Tov and one day is Hol. Even according to the B.O.S.A., it cannot be 2 days Kodesh for the Shi. But the B.O.S.A. Oser, the Kasabar, Lav Mishum Sefeka, the Shemu Bau Edim Biyom Lamed, Safek Biyom Lamed Aleph Lehude Itkun, which means it's not that we're doing the 2 days because of Safek, that maybe the witnesses came on the 30th, or the next day. That's not the way he looks at it. Ela af mishum shema ba'u edim min ha'mincha ulma'la itkun detarvayu kadishi. Which means we have an issue over here like this. The edim can come the entire day of 30. Because it's potentially possible that the 30th day can be Rosh Hashanah. They're not going to add it to Elul. It'll be day one of Tishri. How long did the Edim have to come? Well, I think they have the whole day till sunset. However, we're going to learn that the Hachamim made a takana, that we give the Edim to come until Mincha, meaning until we bring the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Ha'arbayim. Now, mind you, since the people in Jerusalem even did not know if the Edim are going to come until that point, they had to treat the 30th of Elul as Rosh Hashanah Misafik. Because technically the Edim have until Mincha to surface. Now, the rabbis made a takana. Once the Edim come after Mincha, so now already they don't accept them for that day. or the Magid or Shira is pushed off to the next day, even though they came on day 30, they push it off to the next day. Oh, so comes out that what? That day really is not going to be considered whole. But the Hakamim went further and they said like this, we're still going to say, since the people kept the holiday until Mincha, we're going to tell them they have to finish that day and keep it Kodesh. Why? Because we're concerned what's going to happen the following year. If you tell them already at Mincha time, the witnesses showed up, but we're going to push it to tomorrow, therefore today is Chol. So what are the people going to do next year? The people are going to start working from the beginning of the day. And after witnesses surface, comes out retroactive, they did Mincha on Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, the B.U.S.A. is going to say the following. That's the introduction. Let's read it in Nashi now. I'm starting on the first line in Nashi, towards the end of the line. Ela, af mishum shema ba'u edim mina mincha ul ma'ala. Maybe the edim are going to come from mincha time and on, that means from the korban tamid and on. It kun de tarvayu kadishi. So the rabbi said what? Both days are going to be considered Kodesh. The amur rabbanan shayu mitzapim biyom lamed shel elul. Right, the rabbis are anticipating on the 30th day of elul. Sheme yavo edim. Maybe the edim are going to surface. Chenid ita lebanabo. V'yikadshu betin ita chodesh hayom v'nuagim oto hayom kodesh. So the rabbis would treat that day Kodesh from the beginning. Sheme yom tovu. V'tanya tamid shorosh shana shachrit karev kilchato. Which means the morning korban they brought as if it was chol. No, kilkato meaning they did not commit legabe the shir shel yom when they brought the korban of tamid shel shachar to say the mizmor of Rosh Hashanah. They brought kilkato shel chol. V'shir shel chol amtukan nayom v'ashir shel levim omrim b'megdash b'yom rishon. B'tamid shel ben arba'im omer shir echad. Hasoroti mesebel shechmo. Which means you'd say a special mitzvah based on the day. Kedem perek batashos shana v'im ba'u edim achad tamid shel ben arba'im. Now, let's say the witnesses would come after tamid shel ben arba'im shekevar karev b'shir shel chol, which means in the afternoon, if they did not show up yet, even the afternoon korban, they sing the shir at the korban of chol. So now it's going to be very problematic. If the Edim show up after, and you're going to say what? Oh, they showed up. And so Shana, retroactively now, we said the wrong Shir. So it says, Shayu mekadashim ha'hosh mahar, umiyom ha'machorat monim kevi'ato, kedeh lomar Shir ha'ra'ui liyom tov. In order to say the right Shir of Yom Tov, so they did not accept them for that day. They pushed them to the following. Umikol makom, Gamar Yom Sheloshim, the rest of the 30th day that the people Misafek were already treating like Rosh Hashanah, Kodesh Ketchilato. They kept it Kodesh like the beginning of the day. Why? Sheken Teknu, Sheyu Noagin Oto Yom Kodesh, Vafilu Gamros Shel Yom, even the end of the day, Vafapishi Yodim Sheyitchel Yom Machorat, which is now everybody in Jerusalem at least knows that what? Today was Rosh Hashanah, so technically you have from the afternoon till sunset to go do some work, because you know Rosh Hashanah is really tomorrow, doesn't matter. But the people that were far away from Beit Din, Noagim Shnei Yamim Tovim, the people that were far, that would never really know exactly when the Edim came on the first day, they treated 2 days of Yom Tov, lab mishum safek ner ita bana biyom lamed, vavish nichot safek biyom et alev vaviri shon chol. They didn't keep it misafek. Ka'avi ela mishum shema ba'u edim achad tamid shel ben arba'im, v'nagu bedin shenehem kodesh. Which means, in the event, there is a possibility that both days can be treated as Kodesh, not one Kodesh and one Chol. In what scenario? In the case where Edim surface after Mincha, so the rabbi said the first day is considered Kodesh and the second day is considered Kodesh. There is a possibility that it's not one is automatically Chol and one is automatically Kodesh. In that case where they kept the majority of the first day and now the Edim come after Mincha, what's the halakha? The rabbi said, this day, since you did the majority Rosh Hashanah, finish it up. And therefore it's possible, even in Yerushalayim, Kodesh, that 2 days are considered Kodesh, not Misafik. It's Kodesh because Achamim say, we went this far in the first day, finish it off, and the next day also you have to treat Kodesh. So the B.O.S. says, it's always considered Kedusha Ahat.
Which is, the way we learned till now is what? The logic to say it's Shtei Kiddushot is why? We don't know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. Is it the 30th or is it the 31st? So for sure, one day is Kodesh, one day is Chol. Shtei Kiddushot. Rabbi Yosef says no. It's quite possible that you could have Shtei Kiddushot. I'm sorry, it's possible you have Kiddushachat. How? Because I can tell you that in outside of Jerusalem, the reason why they're celebrating 2 days is not Mesefik. It's not because the first day was Chol and the second day is Kodesh or vice versa. It could be that indeed the first day was Kodesh and the second day was Kodesh. How is that possible? Because the rabbis, when they saw Edim come late, they would say, you have to keep the first day, because even in Yerushalayim. So therefore, we, let's say, that are outside of Yerushalayim, far away, we're keeping it like they kept in Yerushalayim. Not the Sefik, we're keeping it Minhadin. Therefore, it's Kodesh, because it's Kodesh, not one whole one. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef will say, it's Kiddusha Ahat. So you see how Rosh Hashanah is different than all the other holidays. Which is other holidays in Galut, you could say, it's Medin Sefik. Because she didn't know exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. But here Rosh Hashanah has a special deen. That when Edim show up in the Minhal, Na'ala Hakamim kept the day Kodesh. So the first day is Kodesh and the second day is Kodesh based on the witnesses. So therefore, that which we're keeping it outside, far from Yerushalayim, 2 days, is similar to the way they kept in Yerushalayim also, which was also not Mesafek, it's also Medin, Shtei Yamim Kodesh. And therefore it's considered Kiddusha Arichta. The rabbis just extended Rosh Hashanah to make it one long day. Therefore you cannot make it Eruv on one side to the other side. So that's the shita of the Rabbi Yosef. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar lehem the Rabbi Yosef. The Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, Iyatem modim sheim ba'u edim min haminhal ma'ala shenohagim oto hayom kodesh ulmahar kodesh. I mean, they came to the rabbis and they said, Ot Rabbi Yehuda, you don't agree that when the edim surface after mincha, that we treat both days Kodesh? So how could you consider it Shtei Kiddushot because you hold one day is Kodesh and one day is Chol? In this case over here, they're really Shtei Yamim Kodesh, not Mesefek. Shtei Yamim Kodesh, because the rabbis declare it Kodesh. You don't agree to that? So how could you say, rabbis, that we treat Rosh Hashanah as one day Kodesh, one day Chol, therefore it's considered Shtei Kiddushot that we can make to Erubin? So they give us a banan. Hatam ki echi delo zilzelube. The only reason why the rabbis did that is so they do not come to mizalzel, they do not come to mistreat Rosh Hashanah the next year. Meaning, Rashi, top line, Verabaran amilach hatam nameh. There also, kevan denedchel yom ha-machorat. Just bottom line, the rabbis are telling you, the witnesses are going to be kasher legabe tomorrow to make Rosh Hashanah. Rishon Chol. Really, the first day is indeed Chol. Velo havi kodesh. Ela had. Oh, vehai detikun ligmor hayom bekdusha. Oh, but the rabbi said you can't work, you have to keep the rest of the day kodesh. Ki echi delo lezilzelu beyom sheloshim shel shana aheret. It was just a gezerah to put a fence up for next year on the 30th day. Why? Right? If you're going to allow them to do milakha from minhaul ma'ala, right? When they know that they're going to push it off to the next day, next year they're going to do milakha. Now remember, here, the 30th day last year, we did milakha. So next year they're not going to remember they did it after minha only. They'll start doing milakha before minha. Now, because what's going to happen? Now if the Edim come before Menachah, that day was indeed. Rosh Hashanah comes out, they did Menachah. So therefore, the rabbis look at it like this. Yes, the rabbis put a restriction, don't do Menachah. But that doesn't mean it's Kodesh. It's really Chol. But what? Treat it like Kodesh, but it's not Kodesh. Which the Biyo says, learning, no. When the rabbi said it's Kodesh, finished. It is considered Rosh Hashanah, therefore it's Kiddusha Arichta. It's Yom Arichta. It's one long day. Hakamim will come along and say, no, they don't look like that. I agree with you. If the Edim came after Rosh Hashanah and Mincha, the rabbis are going to tell you what? Keep the day Kodesh. But not because it's Kodesh. It's really Chol. And therefore the Gavim Eruv, and they give all these other dinim. One is Chol, one is Kodesh. You can make your
stipulations as well, and therefore you could treat it as two separate days. And the Gemara continues. Comes the Gemara and says, now again, just to review, the reason why they didn't accept the Edim, again, after Mincha, because it would throw off the Shir Shel Yom of the Korban. You have to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. Because since they would say the Shir Shel Yom of Chol, till the witnesses come, it's Chol. They can't say Shel Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, after Mincha is the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. So since they brought the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim with the Shir Shel Chol, now the witness is going to come and say, today's Rosh Hashanah. So retroactively, your Korban was said with the wrong Shir. So what they would do is they would push it to the next day. That's the reason why they put the cutoff at Mincha Olma. There's no problem if they said the Boker, the Tamid Shel Boker Shel Chol, because it was Chol at that point. And then the afternoon Korban, when they found out, then already it's Rosh Hashanah. But if they said the afternoon one, after the... Because normally the Halakha says, I'll explain it to you better. Normally the Halakha says, Edim don't usually come that early in the morning. Edim don't come by the time of Tamid Shel Boker. So therefore, regardless, even if Edim came early, Tamid Shel Boker, they always said Chol. Because you don't have to assume that Edim are going to come that early. So it's like considered a contradiction. However, Edim usually come by Mincha. So Mincha, they didn't sew you up yet. We still said the Shir Shel Chol. Now they come after. Now it comes out what you did is your afternoon Korban was wrong. Because you sang the wrong Shir. So the rabbis, that's why they made Mincha the cutoff point for when you can accept the Edim. And the Gemara continues. Bitzlicha. We need the three cases of the Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda to teach us that they are considered Shtei Kiddushot. Again, what were the three cases? The Eruv case of Terumah. You could take the Terumah on the 2 days conditionally, and a Betzah, Shinoda Bezeh, Mutar Bezeh, on the second day. Comes to give another Veslika. De'i Ashmi'inan. Now we're going to add the word Resha. The Bah is the word Resha. De'i Ashmi'inan Resha. Beha ka'amar Rabbi Yehuda mishum delo ka'abid midi. Which means, the first case, I could tell you, you know why he's lenient to set up your Eruv to go in either direction? Because you're not doing anything. All the Eruv was set up already from before the holiday. You put one in the west, you put one in the east, and already you declared exactly what your intention is. So in that case, I could tell you, he'll consider it shtei kiddushot because you're really not doing anything on the holiday itself. Everything already was set into motion from before. So I'll tell you, in that case, he's lenient. However, aval kalkala, but when taking your terumah on Yom Tov, here you're actually doing it. You're taking the terumah on Yom Tov, albeit conditionally, but you're doing a maaseh. So, I might think that they'll agree to the rabbis that you cannot take the terumah even conditionally, because by the way, you're doing something on the holiday itself. If you only gave me the first two cases, meaning of the eruv and the terumah, mishum deleka lemigzara alayu, because really there's no gezerah that if I let you do this, that you're going to come to do something else. Aval betza. What's the reason why a betza shenolda biyom tov is asur? The rabbis said that if a betza is born on Yom Tov, they forbade it because they were concerned about what it might lead to. And there's different reasons in Masechet Betza why. Number one reason is diika lemigzar ba mishum perot hanoshlim. They're worried about, let's say a fruit fell off a tree on Yom Tov. That peri is asur to eat. Why? Because if we allow you to eat that fruit, a guy might climb up a tree to take a fruit, he might pull a branch, or he might pull the fruit. So therefore, what's the concern? The concern is the same thing with a betzah. A betzah is like a fruit that's attached to the tree. When it comes out of the mother of the chicken, so that's like a perot, a peri that got detached. So the gezerah is what? We don't want you to do this lest you come to do, to eat the perot. So therefore, I would say betzah, maybe the rabbi is more mahmir. Because if I allow you to eat the betzah on the second day, you might come now and also eat fruit that falls from the tree. And that already is going to be asur. So therefore, there's a more of a reason to say it's more mahmir by betzah. Because the whole reason, again, why betzah is asur biyom tov, why? Is because
gizrah that you might come to eat a fruit that fell from the tree. And what's the problem if you eat a fruit that fell from the tree? You might come to pull the tree on Yom Tov. Oh, so therefore I might say like this. Even though technically in this case where the Betzah was born on the first day. So now I can eat it on the second day because regardless, if it was born on the first day, it's Yom Tov, the second day is Chol. If it was born on Chol, so Chol is Mutar, it was born on Chol, I can eat it on the second day Yom Tov. But I still cannot go and take a fruit that fell off the tree. So if I'm going to allow this guy to eat this Betzah because you have this condition, I might say it's Asur Gezerah that you might come to do Perot. Hanoshlim. Oh, there's another reason. Umishum mashkim shezavu. What's the case of mashkim shezavu? Let's say you have grapes, let's say. And the fruit juice came out of the grapes by themselves. Mashkim shezavu. Liquid or beverage that oozed out. Now, it oozed out on Yom Tov by itself. Hakim says it's a suit to drink that liquid. Why? Gezerah, that you might come to actually squeeze it. And Sa'ita is going to be forbidden on Yom Tov. So therefore, what does that got to do with an egg? An egg is also like the juice of the, in the mashal, of the chicken. Which it's something that's inside of it that comes out. Right? Just like the juice oozes out from the peri. So to the egg came out of the chicken. So he said, if we allow this, which is technically, there's really nothing wrong with a chicken coming out of an egg on Yom Tov, out of a chicken on Yom Tov. It's a gezerah that you might come to do something else that will lead you to an isur deoraita. So therefore, ema modelu rabbanan. I might think that they agree to the rabbanan. Therefore, they're going to say the egg is worse, and therefore they're not going to allow you to eat the egg on the second day gezerah because either the perot shenoshlim or mashkim shezavu tzericha. That's why the Mishnah comes along and says no, it is still permissible. Therefore, we have a tzrichuta for all three cases. Tanya, we have a braita. Ketzad amar of Yehuda matne adam al kalkala biyom tov rishon veochla b'sheni. Give us the details. How do you take teruma conditionally on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Meaning, one of the cases of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda allowed was what? That a person has a kalkala of tevil, a basket of tevil. So he allowed us what? To take teruma on the first day conditionally, take teruma on the second day conditionally, and then eat it on the second day. So now the Gemara is going to explain exactly what you say and how you do it. So he says, "Hayudu fenav shtei kalkalot shel tevil." And the Gemara gives an example. The example is not only this case. It's just giving you one scenario that can happen. You have two baskets in front of you of tevil. Okay? Now, the point that why he's saying two baskets is because you're going to use one basket as the teruma and the ma'asir of the second basket. Understand? You can use the one basket of tevil to be the teruma and ma'asir. Instead of taking it from the same basket itself, I can say the stuff in this basket is the teruma of this basket, okay? Omer, im hayom chol, on the first day, meaning on the 30th day of Elul, you say, if today's chol, ul machar kodesh, so tehe zu teruma azu. Then the teruma works, because you can take teruma on chol. V'im hayom kodesh, ul machar chol, if today's kodesh and tomorrow's chol, en bedvari klum. Then he says, I did nothing. Now, v'kore aleha shem, and of course, on that day, on the side that it is teruma, he has to designate it as teruma. He calls it a name, meaning this is teruma. Umaniha, he leaves it. Ulmachar, he goes back to the same fruit. Hu omer, im hayom chol, if today is chol, tehezu teruma azu, let these fruit be teruma. Vim hayom kodesh, and if today is kodesh, en bidbari klum, my words are nothing. So you see clearly that's the condition you're going to make. Because mimanavshak, no matter how you look at it, one of the days your tiruma worked because one of the days was chol. Either the first day or the second day. So making this condition would allow you to eat the tevil. Because now it's considered metukan. Rabbi Yosef Osir. And Gemara says that still Rabbi Yosef was osir. V'chein haya Rabbi Yosef osir b'shnei yamim tovim shel galuyot. That Rabbi Yosef was not only mahmir on Rosh Hashanah, but he was also mahmir on the 2 days of galut, which means that's very strict. Because we learned till now, the whole logic of Rabbi Yosef is what? On Rosh Hashanah? Because it's quite possible that the 2 days indeed are Kodesh, because the Edim come after Mincha, so therefore you're sanctifying the first day and the second day. on a regular two-day holiday of Galiot, meaning Pesach, for example, which is on the 15th, in Eretz Yisrael, even if you didn't know, let's say, immediately in Israel, when Rosh Chodesh was, but by the time Pesach came, in Israel at least you knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh, okay, you had 2 weeks to figure it out, so therefore you know exactly what day is Pesach. So in Israel you never made 2 days of Pesach, because you never had a Safek. In Galut, however, we needed to make 2 days. Why? Because Safek. We don't know if they made Rosh Chodesh on the 30th of the last month or of the 1st, of the 31st day. So therefore we have to do 2 days of Pesach, both in the beginning and in the end, which means we have to treat it Kodesh going into the first 2 days of Yom Tov and the last day of Yom Tov as well, because we don't want to eat Chametz on Pesach. Which means if you miscalculate when the Rosh Chodesh was, we're going to end the holiday a day early. And really they made Rosh Chodesh a day late on the 31st day. It comes out we ate Chametz on the 7th day of Pesach. However, that's misafik. That's all safik. And the Chiddush of Rabbi Yosef is that even in such a case where it's just a safik, which means 2 days definitely cannot be Kodesh on Pesach. 1 day is certainly Yom Tov and the other day is Hol. And still he says, you cannot take Eruv from one side to the other side. The Betzah that's born on one is Asur on the other. You can't take Terumah. So this is, like I said, a very strict Shita of Rabbi Yosef. Let's read the sheet to see this inside. וכן היה רבי יוסי אוסר בשני ימים תויים של גלויות. שני ימים תויים של גלויות means the other holidays. Now, כגון בית ימים של פסח. Like the 2 days of פסח בעצרת would be שבועות. וסוכות. סוכות also. Now, שהתורה אמרה יום אחד שבתון. Clearly the Torah says לגבי פסח, the first day is יום טוב. ובגולה עושים שני ימים. Why do we do 2 days? Because they're far from the Beit in Jerusalem. Ve'en yod'im im hukbe'ut tishri v'nisan b'yom shilishi or b'yom shoshim ve'ahad. Let's take Nisan. They don't know if Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on the 30th day, or did they make the 30th an additional day to Nisan and they sanctified Rosh Chodesh on the subsequent 31st day. Ve'afal gav dimishum safek. Now that's clearly safek. Ve'ahad minayu chol. So for sure, one of them is chol afilu acher mahbir behur biyoseh, which means for sure he is still mamid v'hanach de Rosh Hashanah lo karelu shel galuyot, which means they don't call the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah yom tov shel galuyot. Why? Because even in Yerushalayim they would do 2 days, so you didn't have to be in the exile. Which is, was it possible to do 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Israel? But die. In the case I gave you, where they came after Mincha, Beti made the first day called and the second day called. So in Yerushalayim, it was possible to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So that's why whenever we say Yom Tov Shel Galuyot, it's referring to the other holidays that were only celebrated 2 days in the exile. So that's a big chumrah of Rabbi Yosef. That even though one of them is definitely Chol, he is still Mahmir. I want to review again. On Rosh Hashanah, he's not being Mahmir because of Safik. On Rosh Hashanah, he's being Mahmir because it's really Kodesh, as we said. Here, however, it's not 2 days Kodesh. It's just you don't know which day Rosh Bet Din sanctified the month, on the 30th or the 31st. So you have to keep 2 days. And still he said, both days are asur on each other, meaning a betzah born on one is asur on the other. You can't take terumah on one conditionally. No, you can just set up the erubin. So comes the Gemara and says a story. Hahu bar tabia. Bar tabia, the she says, is a tzvi, a deer. De'ata lebe resh giluta. It was brought on Yom Tov to the resh galut, to the exilach. De'etzid bi Yom Tov rishon shel galuyot. Goyim trapped the animal on the first day of Yom Tov, Shel Galuyot, it was in Bavel. Now, of course, we're not allowed to benefit from Melacha that was done, Bi Isur, by a Goy, on Yom Tov. And therefore, there was Isur for them to trap it. We cannot trap it. Certainly, Goyim cannot trap it for us, but that was the case. It was trapped on the first day of Yom Tov. And then what? The Ishit Bi Yom Tov Sheni. And then it was nishat, it was slaughtered on the second day. So the she'elah now came to the Resh Galut. They want to know, can we eat this animal or not? Because bottom line, Isur was done with it on the first day of Yom Tov. And now the second day was slaughtered. We want to know, can we eat it or not? So Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda achlu. So Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda ate. Why? Memanafshach. If they trapped it on the first day of Yom Tov, and the first day of Yom Tov is Yom Tov, okay, fine. It wasn't slaughtered until the next day. The next day is Chol. Now, they waited the amount of time, obviously, where they could have trapped it themselves, and therefore they were not nehene from the trapping of the goy, therefore no problem. Now, if the first day was considered Chol, then it was trapped Bechol, there's no problem to make Shechita on Yom Tov. So therefore, Rav Nachman and Rav Chisda, they ate from it. They said it's, you could eat. But Rav Sheshat no acham. But Rav Sheshat, he was mahmir. He didn't eat. Amar Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, Ma ye'avid le Rav Sheshat, de lo achil besra de tavya. What can we do for Rav Sheshat? He doesn't want to eat the meat over here of the tzvi. And what are we going to do with him? It means, well, there's no reason. Why should he be mahmir on this case over here? Amar le Rav Sheshat, vehechi echul. He says, how could you expect me to eat? Detani Isi, which means we have a braisa in the name of Isi, the Tana that is, Osir. The Amri La, and some say, Isi Tane. Some say, Isi States, which means he's saying the same thing. Either they wanted to say the exact words how he said it. Either Tani Isi or Isi Tane. The bottom line he's saying, as he tells us, the difference would be, Detani Isi Bini Huta. The first version would be that Isi said it, meaning he was saying it in a, you know, in a statement. The amila Isi tane ubilshon tema klamar Isi tane v'ana echol, which is the second way he was saying it rhetorically. Isi said it, and I'm going to eat. Or the first way was, listen, Isi said it, just can't eat. But basically, he's saying that there's tanaim that are against this, so therefore I can't go against them. Now the Gemara says. Oh, and furthermore, he says, Rabbi Yoseh was osir shnei yamim tovim shel galuyot. Now we have Rabbi Yoseh clearly that what said. Right, that what? Isi quoted Rabbi Yoseh that said the 2 days of galuyot, Yom Tov, are asur. Now obviously this case of it must have been Pesach or Sukkot. Okay? It was Yom Tov shnei shel galuyot. And what? Rav Sheshat was taking the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, that was Mahmir on the second day of Yom Tov, to treat it as Yom Tov, and therefore was Asur. Amar Rava, Umay Kushya. Rava says, I don't know what Rav Sheshat was bothered. He's bothered by that statement of Rabbi Yosef. Dilma Hachi Ka'amar. V'chein haya Rabbi Yosef Oser b'shnei yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah Begola. Which means maybe when he said Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, he didn't mean Pesach and Sukkot. He meant Yari. He's only being Mahmir on Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah in the Galut. Why? Because even in Israel, they did too. Now, of course, that's difficult because he said Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot, specifically said Galuyot, but he really means Rosh Hashanah in the Galut is going to have to be Mahmir because even in Israel, therefore, Rav Sheshat, you can eat. The Yosef never was talking about your case. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi shel galuyot." The fact that it said the word galuyot, that already is misleading. Which means it's mashma, when you say galut, of the exiles, means it's mashma that this is only a deen for the exiles and not a deen for Eretz Yisrael. If you were right, Rava, it should have said Bagolam Mivayle. It just should have said in the exile, meaning Bagaliot sounds like it's their deen. Now Rosh Hashanah is not their deen, it's not Galuyot their deen, it's everybody's deen. So therefore, that answer to say that Rabbi Yosef was only Mahmir on Rosh Hashanah is a little difficult with the word Galuyot, as if it's theirs and not others. So comes the Gemara and says, okay, we can give a different answer. Gemara says, Amar Avase, Umay Kushya, what's your question? Dilma Hakika Amar, maybe you meant like this. Vechen haya Rabbi Yose, Ose Isur Shnei Yamin Tovim Shel Galuyot
kishne yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah lerabbanan desharu. Which means maybe you could say the statement is like this, and we read inside. Vechen haya Rabbi Yosef oseh isur. He would make an isur of what? Shne yamim tovim shel galuyot, which is the 2 days of galuyot. Kishne yamim tovim shel Rosh Hashanah lerabbanan desharu. I will read that in Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Amar Rav Aseh. It is the first wide line. Hay osir, that which the Biyosir said it's asur, right? Shnei yamim tovim shel galuyot. Hachi kama, that's what it means to say. Vechen haya Rabbi Yosef oseh isur shnei yamim tovim shel galuyot kal. He was lenient. Legabe the 2 days of galuyot, he was oseh leniency ke isur shnei yamim shel Rosh Hashanah l'rabbanan de paligi alav. Ve'omer mutar ke detanya le'el modim achim l'Rabbi Eliezer. Which means, if you remember, we learned above a shita that held even Rosh Hashanah, you consider shtei kedushot. Let's review. We started the daf today, where we saw the opinion of the rabbis that consider Shabbat and Yom Tov. They consider kedushah hat. We said, but achemim modet Rabbi Eliezer, that Rosh Hashanah is going to be considered shtei kedushot, which means we have an opinion that holds even Rosh Hashanah is considered shtei kedushot. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's the opinion of the Hachamim that would agree to Rabbi Eliezer, which we saw in the Amud Rishon. Which means, correct, Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, and Hachamim of the previous Mishnah that argued on Rabbi Eliezer that says Shabbat and Yom Tov is Kiddushah Ahad. It says, however, Modim Hachamim, the Rabbi Eliezer, Barosh Hashanah. So therefore, what was Rabbi Yosef saying? Rabbi Yosef was saying like this. The 2 days of Galuyot, of let's say Pesach, is going to be considered like the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah according to Hakamim. They consider the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah what? Mutar, meaning it's there, Kedushot. So therefore it's Mutar, one to the other. So he said it in a complicated way, but basically what he was saying was that, I agree, the 2 days of Galiot are Mutar, meaning 2 days of Galiot equals Rosh Hashanah lefi shitat Hachamim. Correct, which means Rabbi Yosef says it like this. Now we read Rashi, exactly, we read Rashi, the first wide line again. Hay Osir, first wide line in Rashi. Hachi kamar, vechen haya Rabbi Yosef, Ose isur shnei yamim tuim shigod. He treated the isur of the 2 yamim of Yom Tov in Galut kal, lenient, like the isur of the shnei yamim of Rosh Hashanah, according to the shita of Hachamim that said it is considered shtei kedushot. I continue. We'd rather explain it like this, even though it's a stretch in the words. We're not going to make Rabbi Yosef a mistake here. Why? Normally we have a shita when it comes to Rabbi Yosef. Whenever he says something, it makes sense. Rabbi Yosef ta'amo v'nimuko imo. Always when you say something, it's logic. To say that you have to be mahmir on the 2 days of Galuyot of Pesach, there's no logic. It's definitely a safek. One day is Yom Tov and one day is Hol. Therefore, what's the logic to be mahmir on these 2 days? So therefore, we want to rather say, you know what? Rabbi Yosef was saying, regarding the Isur of the 2 days of Galuyot Pesach, we're going to treat it like the Isur of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah according to Hakamim, which they treat the Isur of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah lakel, because they hold even Rosh Hashanah is considered what? Shtei Kedushot, because one is Chol and one is Kodesh, which means basically what Rabbi Yosef was saying is, to me, the 2 days of Galuyot are lenient, like Shitat Hakamim legabe Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, lema'aseh, he holds what? That you can do anything. So comes the Gemara and says, so what? So this was why Rav Shishat was Mahmir.
Rav Sheshat said, "Well, listen, I'm not going to eat from this. This is why Rav Sheshat was machmir originally, because he brought the braita of Rabbi Yosef. He came along and said, how can I eat from this thing that was trapped on the first day of Yom Tov? It's considered really one kiddushah. Rabbi Yosef osir shte yamim shel galut." Now he heard already the answer. Already he heard the rabbis that came along and said, what's the problem? Rav Sheshat, you have no problem according to Rabbi Yosef. So what did he say? So the Gemara says, Ashkehe Rav Sheshat l'Rava Bar Shemuel. So he found Rava Bar Shemuel, who answered the statements of Rabbi Yosef. Amar le, he said, Tani mor midi b'kdushot. Did you learn anything? Do you have any braitot regarding? I mean, Rabbi Bar Shemuel was a new rabbi.
Yeah.
New rabbi, not the other rabbi. Rav Sheshat met a new rabbi, Rabbi Bar Shemuel. Okay? So he asked him, do you have any statements, braitot, regarding the 2 days of Yom Tov, Shtei Kiddushot, one Kiddushot? Give me your information that you have regarding the deen. Amar Leso, Rabbi Bar Shemuel says, Tanina, we have a braita, Modeh Rabbi Yosef b'shnei yamim tovim shel galuyot. Gave him a clear statement. That Rabbi Yosef is modeh, that the shtei yamim tovim shel galuyot is mutar. So when Rav Sheshat heard this, that braita went against what he did. So Amar le imashkahat lehu, if you find my colleagues, lo tema lehu velo midi. Don't tell him anything. Don't tell this braita over here. He said, because he was fighting with them. Rav Nachman ate. Rav Sheshat didn't eat. And Rav Nachman came along and said, what are you talking about? He said, I have the braita. So he said, nah. So he says, now there was a clear braita that Rabbi Yosef was Mekel. He says, please keep it a secret. Don't go tell them that you have a braita naked me, in order that he should not be embarrassed.